Chapter 17. Christ and Christmas published and withdrawn. My story is told, the new story of Christ, and the world will feel its renovating influence. Mary Baker Eddy, 1893. It was Tuesday, the 28th of November, when Gilman received a letter from Mrs. Eddy asking him to call at his earliest convenience, saying, "I have a bit of plan to lay before you." The plan she presented that afternoon was to have Gilman paint her portrait, which she intended using for the frontispiece of Science and Health. She also said that she wanted him to have the publishing and the profit from it. This project was never satisfactorily completed. However, at a later date, she paid him well for the work he had done and also had him do a crayon portrait of Dr. Foster Eddy. Before tea was served that Tuesday afternoon, a parcel arrived at Pleasant View, which caused conversation in the dining room. From the library where he was reading, Gilman heard Laura Sargent exclaim, quote, "Oh, isn't that just lovely," end quote. Soon Mrs. Eddy entered the library quietly, and seeing that he had finished reading, said, "I have just received a copy of my illustrated poem." And taking a seat beside me, she was all animation to show it to me and enjoy with me this first appearance of the poem, which we had labored on so much. She seemed to me like a very beautiful young lady, as she sat necessarily near to me, in order to look over with me and point out the different styles of type and other features connected with its makeup at the printers and binders, which were new to me. In studying the type styles which Mrs. Eddy pointed out to her artist at the easel, on that November afternoon, we found another message from our leader in this first edition of Christ in Christmas, which the world soon effaced. Mrs. Eddy had selected for the verses on the pages facing each picture four different type styles, contrary to general practice, and these type styles point the way in a unique manner. The story of the spiritual way is completed with the circular picture of Christian unity. Then the next type style takes us back to meet the serpent of animal magnetism. Had her publishers and printers known that they were working for God's revelator to this age, they would have hesitated to change her choice of type styles. But they did not know. So this message has been eliminated from the pages of Christ in Christmas. This hidden message was for a future generation. On that November afternoon in 1893, everyone was delighted with the new book, with the minor exception that the word "versus" in Truth Versus Error should have been italicized. The journal for December carried this advertisement: "Christ and Christmas, a poem by Reverend Mary Baker Eddy, author of the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, and other works. Illustrated in 11 plates by the author and Mr. J. F. Gilman. Price, $2.50 prepaid, $25 per dozen prepaid. Direct all orders to E. J. Foster Eddy, M.D., C.S.D., Publisher, 62 Boylston Street, Boston, Massachusetts." Response to the new book was immediate. Most of it was favorable, and the poem and pictures were highly praised. But there was one notable exception. That was a letter from Augusta Stetson in New York. Mrs. Stetson was more impressed by the reaction of her acquaintances than by the book itself. For as she stated in her worried letter, they stood aghast at the illustrations, which they pronounced as caricatures with no artistic merit. I am taking up my cross and daring to write this, and only because I fear you may be made to appear at disadvantage, and because I love you. If the critics and press get this to review before Christmas, they will use it against science. One of the objections from New York was that the scene of the Ascension picture, The Way, was located in Concord, New Hampshire. Mrs. Eddy was unperturbed by Mrs. Stetson's concerned letter. Her artist at the easel had often objected to her depictions, but she knew that her work in this venture was God-directed, and that in time, her meaning and messages in the pictures would be seen by her students. She knew as well as anyone that the Christmas tree in Christmas Eve was ungainly, and that the bed in Treating the Sick was vastly out of proportion. Did any of her students perceive that in those two illustrations there was no seven-pointed star nor any indication of spiritual light? Treating the Sick was a depiction of the mental work of her students in 1893, as contrasted with Christian Science Healing, the sixth picture. In the former, the patient is not reaching out for the truth. The eyes of the practitioner are closed. Science and health is closed. There is no spiritual light in the picture, and the huge sickbed dominates the scene. Mrs. Eddy's letter of December 10th was one of reassurance for her faithful Augusta. She wrote in part, "I am fixed more and more in my confidence in your strength to stand, and having done all, to stand. If you will pardon me, I will tell you one of my pet names for you when speaking of you to my household, quote, my war horse, end quote. Oh, dearest, precious child, how much you have done and will yet do for our cause. None knows but me." 4 days later, she wrote to Carol Norton, Mrs. Stetson's protege. Christ in Christmas was an inspiration from beginning to end. The power of God and the wisdom of God was even more manifest in it and guided me more perceptibly, as those of my household can attest, than when I wrote Science and Health. If ever God sends you to me again, I will name some of the marvelous guidance that He gave me. He taught me that the art of Christian Science has come through inspiration the same as its science has. Hence, the great error of human opinions passing judgment on it. If Mrs. Stetson initially questioned the art and the wisdom of Christ in Christmas, Judge Hanna went to the opposite extreme. In his editorial in the January Journal, he reviewed the events of 1893, ending with, "The crowning event of the year, and one of the most marvelous achievements of Christian Science, is the illustrated poem of our leader, just published, Christ and Christmas. This book comes indeed as a Christmas gift, a magnificent mind gem from the bounteous hand of infinite love. If ever God spake to man through symbol and metaphor, or through the inspiration of psalm or song, he so spoke through our leader when she conceived and gave birth to that wondrous work. To attempt a description of it were vain. It cannot be described. The pen which writes these lines is impotent to perform such duty. To make the attempt were like the futile effort to cut a diamond with a bludgeon. It is truly a production, quote, whose noble praise deserves a quill plucked from an angel's wing, end quote. Let us renewedly thank God that we are the happy recipients of this sparkling diadem, this guiding star, and that we understand somewhat, though dimly, its heavenly teaching. In the leader in the January Journal, Miscellaneous Writings 371, Mrs. Eddy said, quote, Judge Hannah's editorial in this journal gives no uncertain echo of the spirit and mission of Christ in Christmas, end quote. Her article began, This poem and its illustrations are as hopelessly original as Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. When the latter was first issued, critics declared it was incorrect, contradictory, unscientific, unchristian. Those mortal opinions were without a feather's weight in the scales of God. The fact was, this textbook of Christian Science was transfiguring the universe. Christ in Christmas voices God through song and object lesson. It was published December 2nd, and already letters extolling it are pouring in from noble women and men, artists and poets. Best of all is this a mother wrote, quote, Looking at the pictures in your beautiful, wonderful book has healed my child, end quote. Her composition went on to state that a letter from her student, the daughter of General Dodge, had arrived December 12th, the day after she had written this, which was in sweet accord with comments from distinguished artists. Portions of Miss Annie Dodge's letter were appended to the article. One Christian Science teacher has said that there are three immaculate conceptions. Mary's, which brought forth the personal Jesus, Mary's, which brought forth the impersonal Science and Health, and your own, when Science and Health brings forth, quote, the final fact that the idea, Christ, is not a materialized or finite man or woman, but is the infinite concept of infinite mind, end quote. Can we not consider the delineation of the Christ in the same way? Jesus's rendition, Mrs. Eddy's rendition, and our own? This thought elucidates Mrs. Eddy's words in the January Journal. Jesus delineates Christ's appearing in the flesh and healing power, not clad in soft raiment or gorgeous apparel, and when forced out of its proper channel, as living delicately, feebly, in king's courts. Pictures are parts of one's ideal, but this ideal is not one's personality. Note this. When looking behind the veil of the temple, he that perceives a semblance between the thinker and his expressed thought cannot blame him for it, but must credit himself. Mrs. Eddy's thought was so far beyond that of her students that though Mrs. Stetson reversed her original impression and found inspiration in the book, Hannah's excesses may have been more typical. He wrote Mrs. Eddy that he had memorized the poem and used it to treat himself. Her response was, "Please tell no one how you utilize Christ in Christmas. Used thus, it is a mental opiate by which the dreamy ecstasy of the repeater lulls fear, nothing else. There is an axe to be used and laid at the root. This axe is the first Hebrew commandment, as explained in my works." She pursued this further in a second letter to Hannah. "What you have to meet, dear one, is only a fear, and what pacifies fear does not destroy it. Take your weapon that kills it, the first commandment, and with that, cut off its head, no matter if you have some fighting to do. For done it must be to decapitate the ghost." Some fine reviews appeared in the press, such as this one from the Concord Monitor. "Whatever comes from the pen of Reverend Mary Baker Eddy is certain to find a large circle of appreciative readers. Her published writings have run through many editions and are in constant demand, and the announcement of a new volume gives rise to pleasant anticipation. These anticipations are more than realized by her latest publication, Christ and Christmas, a poem. The theme is a noble and inspiring one, and the poet has treated it with rare appreciation. The book is beautifully illustrated with full-page photogravures, the artists being Reverend Mary Baker Eddy and Mr. J.T. Gilman, and the photogravure Mr. H.E. Carlton. The binding is very rich, the front cover having an elaborate design in gilt, and the binding being the best cloth with full gilt edges. The holiday season can produce no finer examples of bookmaking, with all that the term involves, of literary and artistic merit, as well as the setting, than is this beautiful poem. And there was criticism, as there always was, to every step Mrs. Eddy took. Perhaps this one and its answer in the February Journal covered them all. Quote, "And what about that clergyman's remarks on Christ and Christmas?" End quote. Mrs. Eddy's response read, "The clergyman may not understand that the illustrations in Christ and Christmas refer not to my personality, but rather foretell the typical appearing of the womanhood as well as the manhood of God, our divine Father and Mother." As letters of praise continued to pour in, she became concerned that the pictures, more than the poem, were being used as an opiate to substitute for mental work. As a consequence, she wrote Dr. Foster Eddy on the 10th of January, "I have stopped my book, Christ in Christmas, being printed. The students made a golden calf of it, and therefore I pull down this Dagon. Don't ever speak of it as a healer. I did in my article for our magazine, but did not know then the modus operandi abroad. The books heal scientifically. The poem is not made the healer, but the pictures are. And the picture healing is made by misuse of charm healing, such as pagans use, and mind curers, mesmerists, and faith curers adopt to save learning through growth out of error into truth. Publicly, her message to her children, the Israelites, pointed out the way and the errors of their ways. Quote, "Hear, O Israel," end quote. Notwithstanding the rapid sale of 2 editions of Christ in Christmas and many orders on hand, I have thought best to stop its publication. I must stand on this absolute basis of Christian Science, namely, cast not pearls before the unprepared thought. Idolatry is an easily besetting sin of all peoples. The illustrations were not intended for a golden calf at which the sick may look and be healed. Whosoever looks to me personally for health or holiness mistakes. He that by reason of human love or hatred, or from any other cause, clings to my material personality greatly errs, stops his own progress, and loses the path to health, happiness, and heaven. Pondering on the finite personality of Jesus, the Son of Man, is not the channel through which is reached the Christ, or Son of God, the true idea of man's divine principle. I warn students against falling into this spirit of Antichrist, to scientifically impersonalize a material sense of existence, rather than to cling to its personality, is the lesson of today. I ask my students to give their attention to this lesson and receive its blessing. In a paragraph of thanks, she said that the new book had mayhap taught me more than it has others. This lesson is reflected in the new title she gave to the article when it was reprinted in Miscellaneous Writings, Deification of Personality. But the one sentence that spoke most for the future of Christ in Christmas reads, quote, "The scriptures and Christian Science reveal the way, and their revelators will take their proper place in history, but will not be deified," end quote.